Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
There was no use talking, there was nothing to say when the band began to play, and we danced like a wave on the ocean of romance. We were liars in love,
and we danced. Well, I love that song. 17 Tail, welcome back. Thanks for hanging out with me. That's the Hooters. Isn't that what they, is that their name? I think that's what they call that bunch. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and we're rocking and rolling here on the Small Business Advocate Show. Put a .com on the end of that, smallbusinessadvocate.com. You'll find me online. And not only me, but the 2,000 members of our Brain Trust, like our good friend John Deeney, who's with us right now. So check all that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can read, you can listen, you can ask questions. You can subscribe to my newsletter. You can take a poll question. We'll entertain you. We'll, you know, whatever we can do to help you make put your best foot forward in the marketplace with the small business you own or the one you're hoping to own. And John Deeney's been doing a great job of helping us with all that over the years. Find his suite on our website and see the things that he's taught us in the 8-plus years he's been a member of our Brain Trust. We're talking about your second in command. You have a second in command? Do you have somebody that you can turn the company over to? Isn't that, John, isn't that, you know, when I think of a second in command, I think of somebody that, okay, if I, you know, had to go in the hospital, if I had to leave and go out of the country for a week or a month, if I got run over by a truck, you know, who would be the person? Do I have a person who would step in and could almost do what I do? Isn't that kind of what a second in command does?
Absolutely. It's a risk management question. You know, I heard an insurance agent say the other day, he was talking to a client, and he said, you spend tens of thousands of dollars a year on insurance premiums for fire, for flood, for business continuation, for technology failure. He said, how much are you spending to cover the risk of you not being here to manage every day?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest risk most small businesses have. And the, you know,
why do you think more small business owners don't, even if they've got a person like that, why do you think they don't invest the responsibility as much as I know a lot of small businesses who have a second in command, but they're really kind of hold back on them. They don't really invest the full responsibility that they could probably. You think that they're afraid to give that much information out? What do you think? They're gonna live forever? What do you think?
I don't think that's the conscious word. Yeah, there's sometimes it's I don't want them to see old financials, or I don't want anybody else to be able to do everything I do. It's a safety thing, but not usually.
It could be that nobody can do it better than me or as well as me.
Well, I think it's the toughest management challenge we have as business owners to teach people how to make decisions. That's the biggest part of it. You can teach them a skill. You can say, I don't want to keep the accounts anymore. I'm going to teach somebody to keep the accounts. Or even, I don't want to sell our product anymore. I'm going to teach somebody all about our product, and he can go sell it or she can go sell it. But teaching someone how to make decisions. When I talk to small business owners, and I say, what would you like most in your employees? The answer is some version of, I wish they could think like me.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they could look at something, look at a situation, look at a problem, look at an opportunity, and go through the thought process I go through as far as the positives, the negatives, the downsides, the risks, what it's going to cost.
See,
and they don't seem to be able to do that.
You're talking about the difference between a manager and an executive now, aren't you?
Yes.
A manager takes an assignment and does the assignment and maybe makes a few decisions, but basically operates within the confines of that job. An executive has the ability to make decisions and maybe change some things, maybe take some risks, right?
Yes. And
so your second in command needs to be you need your second in command to be more of an executive and less of a manager.
And you need somebody that can say no to you.
Mm-hmm.
You need somebody that can say, boss, I know you're all excited about that, but that's not where we said we were going. That's not what we said we were going to do.
Speak truth to power.
Right. And if we're going to change that, we need to sit down and work it through, because I need to understand why you think this is important enough to change what we said we were going to do.
Every CEO needs somebody to push back on them, even if it's just for argument's sake. Just to harden the decision with a little bit of what if, right?
Sure. Sure. And remind the business owner what the objectives are. We forget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen so many businesses get in trouble because an opportunity comes along and it really doesn't fit with what they do. But gosh, it looks like we could make a lot of money doing that. And off they go.
Mm-hmm.
Because they come in and they bring everybody together and they say, hey, I know I've been telling you for 10 years that we're going to paint the world blue, but yellow's a good color for me today. Let's go. And they go, yes, sir, boss. They salute. They walk out the door and start with the yellow.
Right. I have seen what you're describing work. I've seen it happen. And when it happens, and when the personalities are right, and the CEO is able to actually turn loose, it really, the company leaves the ground. The company flourishes. It leaves the ground.
One of the reasons for that is because most CEOs spend about 20% of their time doing what they do well. The thing they do best, the thing that they built the company with, their skills, their sales skills, or their technical skills, you know, 80% of their time winds up grinding through the day-to-day of keeping the business going.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can double or triple that,
right,
it's an amazing result.
What you're saying is 80% of the time is executive thinking, and I mean, 20% is executive thinking, 80% is management. And if you're the CEO, you need to be doing more executive stuff and less management. Quick break, right back with John Deeney after these messages. We're going to talk some more about your second in command.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.